Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Standing side by side, striving together side by side, encouraging one another side by side. That's authentic Christianity. Sharing together in the spread of the faith of the gospel. Linked, as it were, arm in arm. Stand side by side with others for the gospel and for Christ.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today we're continuing in the powerful and practical letter Paul wrote to the Philippians. We'll explore how the gospel impacts us as individuals and as members of our local church. So what are our responsibilities and priorities? And what obstacles should we expect to face? Continuing our series in Philippians, here's Pastor John Monroe with this message, Side by Side for Christ.
In the book of Philippians, we're learning that the Christian life is not a life we live alone in a vacuum. The Apostle Paul talks of the partnership in the gospel he had with the Philippians from the first day the church was formed until the time of his letter some 10 years later. He also reminds the Philippians that it is important that they continue to grow in Christ and be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Paul knew what it was to be in a prison for his faith. He had his critics, his opponents, and you may have as well. But it is important that you stand with others side by side for Christ. Today, let's learn of the importance of standing firm in the midst of opposition and struggles.
Philippians 1 then, verse 27. Paul writes, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." These verses are a tremendous challenge and a tremendous comfort to stand firm side by side for Christ. Up to this point, Paul has been writing of his own circumstances, his prayer for the Philippians, his circumstances as a prisoner, and his passion for Christ and the gospel. But now Paul, in these verses at the end of chapter 1, summarizes what is on his heart concerning the Christians at Philippi. How does the gospel of Jesus Christ impact us as individuals and as a local church? What are our responsibilities? What are our priorities regarding the gospel? What dangers and problems are sometimes faced by us? Here are four commands from these verses to consider as we shine our light. First of all, from verse 27, as you shine your light, be authentic. Be an authentic Christian. Now here is the main command in verse 27. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's the main command in these verses. This phrase, conduct yourself in a manner, is a translation of just one word in Greek, and was used in the sense of being a worthy citizen. Philippi, as we learned a couple of weeks ago, was a Roman colony. And the Philippians then enjoyed the rights and the privileges of being citizens, not only of Philippi, but also of Rome. And Roman citizens, Rome being the superpower of the day, the Roman citizens were expected to conduct themselves in an appropriate way, not to do anything, not to say anything that would bring dishonor on Rome. In other words, with the privileges of being a citizen of Rome came responsibilities. Now, Paul is applying this concept in verse 27 in a Christian context. The Christians at Philippi have a higher citizenship than Rome. They are citizens of heaven, as Paul is going to say in chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. But with the privilege of being citizens of heaven comes the responsibility to live in a way which is consistent with the gospel. Their behavior as Christians at Philippi, their behavior was to be different from the pagans around them. They are citizens of heaven, therefore their behavior is to be authentic. Our behavior, as we shine our light, is always to be consistent with the gospel. So my question for you is this. If you are a follower of Christ, if you, with God's help and His grace, seek to shine your light, what statement by your life, not by your words, but by your life, what statement are you making regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ? When people observe you, when they listen to you, when they see you in action, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your office, the way you conduct your business and so on, is it consistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ? By our attitudes, by the way we speak to people, by the way we treat others, when people look on us, what do they learn about the Christian faith? Paul is saying here, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. We are to live worthy of the gospel. This glorious truth that has transformed our life, that we have been celebrating and rejoicing. This gospel that we're so passionate about that we want to tell others. But with that wonderful passion must come a life consistent with our words. We are to display Christ as we shine our light. Our conduct then must harmonize with the gospel. We call that nowadays being authentic. We are to be authentic people. An absence of phoniness, an absence of hypocrisy. Think of the damage done to the Christian faith by phony, inauthentic Christians. Those who would say they're followers of Christ, but their life is a very denial of it. Now, Paul is certainly not advocating perfectionism, but he is urging the Philippians and us to authentic Christian living. Are people attracted to Jesus Christ because of the way we live? The gospel of Jesus Christ is one of love, of grace, of peace, of truth, and joy. Do we radiate that love? Do we display that joy? Do we stand for justice and righteousness? Do we communicate grace or harshness? Do we communicate a judgmental spirit or a forgiving one? Do we communicate a kind of legalistic way of living or a life of mercy and grace? Are we people who pursue peace or are we people who leave a trail of argument and division behind us? Here is a very important thing. Paul is saying, as we shine our light, be authentic. Secondly, as you shine your light, stand firm. Only conduct yourself, verse 27, in a manner worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, Paul's not sure whether he's going to be with them or not. Either way, he says, I may hear of you that you are standing firm. Standing firm. Authentic Christians stand firm. Hawthorne, in his helpful commentary on Philippians, translates this term, standing firm. He said it's used of soldiers who determinedly refuse to leave their post, irrespective of how severely the battle rages. If you've served in the military, you can identify with that. The idea of steadfastly holding one's ground in the face of danger and opposition. There's a battle around. The battle is very fierce. But the soldier defends his position irrespective of the cost, even to the point of giving his life. Paul is saying, now I would love to hear that report of you from the church at Philippi, that you are standing firm, that I understand that you're authentic about your faith as you're shining your light, that you're standing firm. New Testament Christians are people of conviction, of strong beliefs, of fortitude, and of courage. And we, wherever we are to stand firm, standing for truth, standing for righteousness, standing for holiness, standing for Christ against the enemy. Do we stand firm or give way? In business, businessmen, businesswomen, you have the opportunity to make a quick buck, to get some promotion, if you compromise your principle. Let me ask you, are you standing firm for the gospel? That's authentic Christianity. With the shining of the light, there must also be standing firm. Now, there's a third one also in verse 27. As you shine your light, strive with others for the faith of the gospel. At the end of verse 27, Paul says, that I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Authentic Christians strive together for the faith of the gospel. Paul uses this word striving from the realm of athletics. Our English word athletics comes from this term, striving or contending. It's a word used for the wrestler. It was the word used for the gladiator, the Roman gladiator, someone who strived. And Paul here is emphasizing then the need for discipline, of effort, of perseverance and endurance. Paul is certainly not saying that we work for our salvation. No, we are saved by grace, not by anything that we do. But those who are followers of Christ, we are to stand firm and we are to strive and contend for what? For the faith of the gospel. Paul is saying here in verse 27, that's worth striving for. That's worth fighting for. That's worth taking on the forces of darkness against us as we strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now, in our society here in the West, where a higher priority is placed on tolerance than on truth, we must strive together for the faith of the gospel. What is more important in our society? Truth or tolerance? Tolerance every time. Tolerance is the highest virtue. Doesn't matter what you believe, however bizarre it is, but we are to be tolerant of everything and anything. Paul says, no, you are to strive together for the faith of the gospel. That's why doctrine does matter. Truth matters. Theology matters. Our faith matters, Paul is saying. In other words, as evangelicals, do we really believe the gospel? Do we really believe that Jesus is the only way? Our society tells us, no, Jesus is one way, but he's certainly not the way. And don't tell me that Jesus is the only way to heaven and to the Father. Do we really believe that people who die without Christ are eternally lost? The reality is, in many evangelical churches, the gospel is under attack. And there are subtle and not so subtle attacks and attempts to reduce the gospel of its scandal, to make the gospel message more palatable. But that is right against the teaching of the New Testament. Remember Paul, in that classic passage in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, he tells us that there is always a scandal in the gospel. Why? Because of the cross. To Jews, it's a scandal. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to us who believe, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Our priority then is the gospel. The Church of Jesus Christ, our missionary enterprise, is not an arm of the United Nations, although we applaud much that they do. The Church of Jesus Christ is not just some other secular society bringing humanitarian relief to the world. We are concerned with the gospel. We are to strive for the faith of the gospel. And that's what Paul is saying. And notice he says that we do that together. We strive together. Verse 27, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Notice his emphasis on unity. We stand firm in one spirit with one mind. We strive together. Chapter 2, verse 2, he says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. The Christian life, praise God, is not a solo performance. The tired old cliche, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, has no place in New Testament Christianity. That would just be as silly as my saying, I don't need to live in my house with my wife to be a husband. I'm glad my wife still likes me to come home. No, those of us who are part of the family of God want to spend time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We realize that left to ourselves, we would get weak. We would fall into doctrinal error. We need one another. And in order to grow in our faith, in order to live a balanced Christian life, strong in the faith, it is vital that we're part of a local community of believers. We need one another. And we saw that this term, standing together, was a military concept. What do soldiers do? They stand together with their comrades in arms. Soldiers take care of one another. They know they will only succeed if they stand together. And a soccer team may have star individuals, but that team will not go very far unless it plays as a team. And so Paul is telling the Philippians that they are to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now notice what we are to be united about. We're to stand firm and strive for the faith of the gospel. That's worth striving for. We need to be united against the enemy, against the unbelieving world, against the forces of darkness. We are not to strive against each other. That would be madness in an army. That would be madness on a soccer team if the players were playing against each other or if soldiers were fighting against each other. But what a joy it is, standing side by side, praying side by side, striving together side by side, encouraging one another side by side. That's authentic Christianity, sharing together in the spread of the faith of the gospel. Linked, as it were, arm in arm. Stand firm. Don't be a weak link. As you shine your light, stand side by side with others for the gospel and Christ. Now there's a final one in verses 28 through 30. As you shine your light, be prepared to suffer for Christ. That's a tough one for us, isn't it? As you shine your light, be prepared to suffer for Christ. Authentic Christians, shining their light, suffer for Christ. Paul reminds the Philippians that they're experiencing suffering here. There were opponents in Philippi, verse 8. In no way alarmed by your opponents. Paul doesn't explain who these opponents are. They may have been Judaizers, more probably. They were the Roman authorities. But Paul reminds them that he has been experiencing, verse 30, the same conflict. He writes as a prisoner in Rome. He knows about suffering. He knows about conflict. He knows about spiritual opposition. But the church's true unity is grounded in the faith of the gospel. God's people are to stand firm when the gospel and the Christian faith are under attack. And opposition is to be expected. Why do we get blown away by opposition from our society around us? What do you expect? From our media? From Hollywood? From unbelievers? Don't be alarmed, Paul is saying, by your opponents. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't panic. He says, verse 28, it's a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. The Roman emperor gave thumbs up or thumbs down to the gladiators as to whether they should live or die. Here are also two signs, life or death. This opposition against the gospel, then, is a two-way sign. It's a sign that the opponents are headed for destruction, but it's a sign that the Philippians are headed for salvation. You see, the greater the opposition, the greater the need for unity against the common enemy. Do we expect opposition against us as a church? If we take the gospel seriously, if we seriously shine our light, if it's just business as usual, if we just go through a veneer of cultural Christianity, the enemy and our society will leave us alone. What's the harm of getting together and having a great club in a big building like this? But if we're serious, and the gospel makes inroads into our society and our schools and our neighborhoods and penetrates the opposition throughout the world, there will certainly be opposition. And I know some of you here, from talking to you, experience persecution in your own home and your own workplace. Some of you rejected because of your commitment to Christ. Are you experiencing suffering because you will not compromise your Christian principles? Don't be intimidated by opposition and suffering. Remember that you're saved by God's grace. Remember that to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that those who oppose you are headed for destruction unless they repent. Suffering for Christ, Paul is saying, is a privilege and a blessing. It's one of the tools that God uses to conform us to the image of his Son. And the Philippians needed to be reminded, as Paul is reminding them, that God is in control and God knows all about their suffering. Our Savior, our Master, suffered at the hands of sinful men, and we who follow him are not above our Master. Luke says in Acts 5:41, the apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. You ever suffered for your faith? Do you know what it is to be ridiculed for your faith? As a young man in high school, I wore a little badge, Jesus Saves. A tough public school, let me tell you, where there were very few followers of Christ. No one stoned me, no one imprisoned me, no one reported me to the authorities, but I knew what it was to be on the receiving end of laughter and ridicule. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You're in the best company if you experience suffering for Christ. This is what authentic Christianity involves. This is what is involved in shining our light. It is standing firm. It's striving for the faith of the gospel. It's sharing together in these great truths. It's suffering for Christ's sake. May those around us see this kind of Christianity displayed in our lives. The darkness is thick. The evil is very formidable. Our enemy is very devious. But as we stand together, brothers and sisters, striving together for the faith of the gospel, prepared to suffer for Christ's sake, always shining our light, locked arm in arm with our brothers and sisters, we will stand firm. And God will graciously use us to shine his light, dispelling the darkness, so that throughout the world, boys and girls and men and women will come to Jesus, who is the light of the world.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message titled, Side by Side for Christ. Before we close today's program, we want to encourage you to get your free copy of a new booklet from John called Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters. You know, sin is a word we don't hear much anymore, but understanding the reality of sin is necessary to understanding the good news of Jesus Christ. With this new booklet, you'll get a clear biblical overview of sin. You'll realize how different sins can manifest in our lives, and you'll understand why we all need a Savior. Ultimately, you'll be encouraged because there's hope for each one of us. So don't wait. Download or request your copy of Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters today by going to our website at theverdict.org. Well, here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's Word on a daily basis. And right now, you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give a one-time donation through our website at theverdict.org. And before we close, we want to remind you to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast and get each of these daily messages downloaded automatically to your phone or mobile device. With the app, you'll also gain access to John's special weekly feature called Avizandum. So open your favorite podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and click follow or subscribe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you standing firm for Jesus Christ? If you are an authentic Christian, you probably have experienced some opposition. In today's culture, it's easy to be discouraged, to feel pressure to compromise. Be part of a local church where you can worship, where you can encourage others, where you truly can stand side by side for the sake of the gospel. And make sure you are an encourager to others rather than a critic. Stand firm for the gospel. Stand side by side with others.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.